In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. There appeared one sent from God, and this was a man named John. He was an official agent of God's word. He spoke on God's behalf. And yet, notice that John does not get a God complex. His head does not swell with pride. He doesn't try to steal the stage. Rather, he works behind the stage, setting the scene for Jesus to come. John knows his role. John knows that he is not the light, but he comes to bear witness to the light. John is the mirror. Jesus is the light. John is the moon. Jesus is the sun. John is the confessor, and Jesus is the one in whom sins are confessed and absolution is spoken. John is the voice, and Jesus is the Word made flesh. John's witness prepares us to witness Jesus' advent. And as you well know with John, John does not sugarcoat, frost, glitter, or sprinkle his words, even if it is Christmas. And this is why John rarely, if ever, gets a hearing from the masses, and far less, strangely perhaps, by the crowded church. For as we are all in the middle of dreaming of a white Christmas, or we are in the yesteryear that brought us so much cheer, or thinking about our beloved ones and the gifts that we have gotten them, or the ones that we need to get, John far seems more like the Grinch who stole Christmas than anyone else. But John doesn't seem to really care about that so much, because he comes to witness to God's word and to stir within us this consideration that we have buried our sins in the midst of whether it be spiked eggnog or a jovial chit-chat at our full house or maybe a wild office party or hypnotizing lights and all the artificial wonder that seasons our season. Now, don't get me wrong, John isn't out to destroy this ever elusive Christmas spirit, as we like to refer to it. He wants you to understand something, that he has something to say, that he preaches because he is the voice who is preparing God's chosen way to come to his people, that he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about this messenger who will prepare the way of God to come in the flesh. Therefore, he refuses to be silenced by sentiment or Santa Claus or manufactured smiles. He continues to rupture our world as he goes about his merry way saying, "Make straight the way of the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord." And when he first came, and when he first said that, the religious establishment looked at him and wondered, "Who are you?" Because they didn't get the answer that they were expecting or what they wanted. And today, many are asking the same question. Who is John the Baptist? Who are you? But they're asking it while they're encased in a snow globe of merriment and deaf to the cries of Advent, of the coming of God. They are blind to the coming of God in the flesh. They are blind to the coming of God to redeem and resurrect all flesh, and to the coming of God to judge the living and the dead in their flesh. I know, John's witness is not what we are looking for when we're so close to Christmas. And especially while we're having already started preparing for Christmas and have our Christmas tree up and wrapping presents and baking cookies and doing all of those things. But maybe John's voice is just what we need this time of year. So again, who are you, John? And John replies, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Notice where John is crying from. He's crying from the wilderness. The wilderness in the Bible is understood as the place of death, dust and ashes. It's where we all must go, death. And as you may well know, death doesn't care if it's Christmas or if it's Easter or if it's some other holiday where we're supposed to be happy. Death doesn't care about the fact that carols are in the air and that there is excitement in December 25th and how that holds us enchanted with what's going to happen that day. And death doesn't care. And death doesn't care what you get that day, what you open that day. We are all equally tall lying in that box, if you will. I mean, we may be someone going in. We may have a lot of things that mean a lot to us. But to death, death is unimpressed with those things. It only seeks to devour those things. And then there's another thing about this wilderness. That in the wilderness, the silence is deafening. There's no Christmas story movie playing on the background in the on the TV. There's no kids screaming and yelling down the slopes and throwing snowballs at each other. There's no carolers greeting you with hymns of hope and peace and joy. There's no soothing heartbeat or hand of a beloved loved one giving you a Christmas gift and next to you. There's just silence. And the silence can be, not always, but it can be quite suffocating. That is, until you hear it. And that is your conscience. And then it gets even worse. Because alone in the wilderness with our conscience, we are defenseless against all attacks. And then you hear it even more. Your conscience has a playlist. And that playlist is repeatedly testifying against you, reminding you of the failures, of the shortcomings, of the missed opportunities, of the regrets, of the foolish escapades. You thought these things were all gone. You thought they were said and done. They were forgiven. And they are. But you have this conscience. And yes, you confess them in church. And yes, you perhaps even confess them before your pastor privately. And you heard that you were forgiven of these transgressions. And you heard your pastor say, go in peace. But yet, oh so quickly, there's no peace. But there's no peace alone apart from Him who is the voice of the Word made flesh. I mean, we wish that we could hear something else, anything else but our conscience, to still that voice of our accuser, the devil. The accuser, our own flesh, the accuser of the world that has shrunk our world into the size of a prison cell. But here is the hope of Advent, that into this prison cell, into this wilderness of death and sin and all of the tragedy that we call our life, God sent His man. God sent His messenger. God sent His voice. And that man is John. And John is the voice that breaks the silence. He is the voice that leads you to this water of holy baptism. Because your baptism is Jesus' advent to you. It's Jesus' witness to you that your sins are forgiven. Your baptism testifies to the fact that you are indeed buried and raised with Christ, and that your life is hidden with Christ in God. So John, you're not Elijah, you're not a prophet, you're not the Christ, then who are you? Again, I'm simply the voice of the one who leads you to the Word made flesh, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I am that voice that calls you away from the profane to the holy, away from all the sentimental to the true salvation that is found in God alone, away from the prison of your own voice and flesh, to the voice of the one who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And once Christ speaks, once he is here, John's voice fades away. His job is done, and he quickly disappears. For the one who comes after him, that is Jesus, who speaks after him, that is Jesus, is greater than John. And what does this one who is greater than John speak? Isaiah was quite clear that Jesus comes to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and also the day of the vengeance of our God, but also to comfort all who mourn, and to grant those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, this oil of gladness instead of mourning, and this garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. All that these, you, the children of God, might be called oaks of righteousness, planted in the Lord's church for eternity, that God might be glorified in his work. You see, Jesus' advent comes with his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to heal us, to raise us, and to bind up our wounds, to comfort us, to clothe us, and to give us life, to forgive our sins, and to clear our consciences, and plant in us his well-tended and gracious word, to stop the bleeding with his bleeding, to deliver us from our death with his death, and to feed our hungry souls with his very own body and blood. For we who are in this wilderness of sin and death, we have nothing. And yet in Christ we are given everything. So there appeared one sent from God. His name was John. His voice leads you to the Savior who has become flesh for you. For God is not with us in the same way that he was when he was speaking to Adam and Eve after they had sinned. And he was not with you in the same way that he was in a cloud and fire on Mount Sinai. No, John leads you to your God who has become flesh, who is Emmanuel, God with you. He is, if you will, God with shoes on by the voice of John the Baptist. And as this God with shoes on, he walks in our tired souls. And in so doing, he knows what life is like in the wilderness. He was there, he is there, and he always will be there. But be there for you. For there in the wilderness, he is the only oasis. He is the only life. And the blood and the water that flows from his side pours into this chalice and this altar and into your mouth, rescuing you from the wilderness of sin, death, and the power of the devil, and giving you life. Not just life now, but life eternally. For that is the hope and promise and truth of Advent. In the name of Jesus, amen.